Blog Talk Radio.
The Franciscan Friars of the Atonement present the Ave Maria Hour.
Hello, this is Father Bob Warren of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour radio show. The Friar's popular Ave Maria Hour was first brought to the radio airwaves in 1939, recorded in New York City and on the mountainside grounds at Graymore, a home in Garrison, New York. These timeless classic stories of the Bible and the lives of the saints came to life each week through dramatic reenactment by professional actors and actresses. You know, friends, Christ once said, "Do not hide your treasure under a bushel." In saying this, he meant, share your gifts, share your talents. The Friars of the Atonement feel the message in these broadcasts remains as powerful and timely as when they were originally aired, and we are so happy to be able to share them with you today. To learn more about the missions and ministries of the Friars of the Atonement, I invite you to visit our website, www.atonementfriars.org. In the meantime, sit back and enjoy this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour.
This is the story of St. Stephen, the first martyr, the first of that glorious army whose blood was the seed of the church, of whom Christ foretold, "Yea, the hour cometh when whosoever killeth you will think that he doth a service to God." Our story begins in the deep darkness just before dawn, when a hurried knocking sounds at the door of the house of Gamaliel, the teacher in Jerusalem, and Gamaliel's daughter Sarah hastens to answer.
Who is it? What do you want?
Forgive me. I must speak to Rabbi Gamaliel. Is he still here?
He's just leaving. He's been summoned to a meeting of the Sanhedrin.
Yes, I know. My name is Stephen, and it's terribly important.
Who is it, Sarah? Is it Nathan?
No, Father. A young man named Stephen.
Forgive me, Rabbi, but it's so important. May I have a minute?
Can't it wait until later in the day?
No. You see, it's about Peter and John. You know them, Rabbi. They've been arrested.
Of course, the followers of the Nazarene. And that must be why the council has been called.
Yes, and I've come to beg you to speak for them, Rabbi. They'll listen to you. Even the high priest will listen to you.
But why have these two been arrested? What have they done?
Nothing, Rabbi. You've heard them preaching day after day in Solomon's porch at the temple.
Ah, yes. They are not learned, but they have a strange eloquence. They interest me. But why should they be arrested?
A few days ago, Rabbi, Peter healed a cripple in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. The Sadducees said it was blasphemy, but the crowds hooted at them until they had to hurry away.
I see. It's strange that men so simple and unlettered should have the power of miracles. But God often works through unexpected instruments. The only danger is that men may forget the law which is our only salvation.
We obey the law, Rabbi Gamaliel.
That is true. I have never heard your leaders preach otherwise. But, well, young man, you were not born in Jerusalem, were you?
No, Rabbi. My people were exiled long ago. But we have held fast to the law in our exile. And though we use Greek in our synagogues, we are as strict and faithful as any in Jerusalem.
They call you Hellenists, you Jews who speak Greek. One of the best pupils I ever had is a Jew of Tarsus named Saul. So I have reason to know that the prejudice against you is foolish. Still, it exists. And there seem to be many Hellenists among you Nazarenes.
But Peter and John were born here. And what they teach is not contrary to the law. It is the fulfillment of the law, Rabbi Gamaliel. Not empty arguments about forms, but but a message of hope to everyone seeking for God.
The law has preserved us a nation for thousands of years, Stephen. And only if we cling to it in every tiny particular can we endure until the Messiah comes.
But there are so many details, so many hundreds of things to do or not to do.
I have studied the law all my life, Stephen, and even now I can't be sure that I have ever observed it perfectly for even one day. It is hard, yes, but it is the law. Now, as to Peter and John, I have never heard them preach anything which did not conform to the law, and therefore I shall speak for them before the council.
Thank you, Rabbi.
I think, forgive me, that your little band of Nazarenes are perhaps fanatical, but I am sure that to persecute you would be wrong. It is the duty of the Sanhedrin to root out false doctrine and to punish anyone who would lead our people away from the law. But I cannot see that there is any such danger here.
God bless you, Rabbi.
Now I must hasten, or I will be too late.
May I come with you, Father? I'd like to see these men and hear you.
If you wish, but hurry.
A few hours later, on the steps outside the council chamber, Stephen pressed through the crowd to reach Sarah.
I can't get near your father, Sarah, and I must thank him. Tell him that his words have saved two lives. We're grateful, and we'll all pray for him.
Wasn't it splendid? I was so afraid.
Sarah, I must see your father.
He will be at home later on, Mason.
What on earth was he thinking of? I can't understand it.
Oh, but I thought he spoke so wisely, Mason. Didn't you approve?
Approve? When we could have wiped out these followers of the Nazarene once and for all this very day? I never imagined the Rabbi Gamaliel, of all people, would interfere.
The council agreed with him, Nathan.
And you are wrong if you think you could have wiped out the teaching of Jesus of Nazareth just by killing two good and holy men.
What? Who are you?
My name is Stephen.
Oh, a Greek Jew. And more Greek than Jew, like the rest of them. What do you know about the law?
I know that the spirit of the law is to bring us close to God. And God does not care about the tongue when we pray with our hearts.
But what do you know
about... Now, you mustn't quarrel. Not here. Nathan is the son of the high priest, Stephen. Naturally, he's upset.
My father wasn't pleased with Gamaliel, Sarah.
I saw that, Nathan. He was angry. And my father was not. Perhaps that's why the council listened to my father.
Sarah, I'm sorry this matter needn't concern you. Let me take you home. I'll wait for the rabbi there.
As you wish, Nathan. But I think my father was right. And I'm sorry the council ordered those poor men to be scourged. I don't think they deserved it at all.
Thank you, Sarah. But they will hold it an honor. Our Jesus was also scourged before they crucified him. Can we do less for him? Thank you, Father, Sarah, for all of us.
Months passed, months in which the gulf between the Sanhedrin and the followers of Christ grew wider, and feeling in Jerusalem grew more bitter. One day in the courtyard of Gamaliel's house, Sarah had reached the quarreling point with the son of the high priest.
You're unkind, Mason, unfair and unkind.
You don't understand, Sarah. Rebecca may be a very good old woman, but she's fallen into the clutches of these Nazarenes. She'll have to learn better, that's all.
You can't let her starve, Nathan. She's a widow. She has a claim on the charity of the synagogue under the law.
Let her go to Solomon's porch, then let them care for her.
I don't see why you're so angry, Nathan. My father says that there's nothing wrong in the teachings of these Nazarenes.
Your father? Sarah, I don't understand your father, and what's more, others are beginning to wonder about him, too. Our greatest doctor of the law, and yet he pretends that there's nothing wrong, that these people are perfectly orthodox. Why, half of them aren't even real Jews, Greeks, yes, and even Gentiles.
Rebecca is a proselyte, Mason. Perhaps that's why she finds comfort among the Nazarenes. Perhaps they don't make her feel that the law is too good for her. Oh, why, Mason, look. They're coming up the gate. Why, surely it's Stephen.
Yes, I recognize him.
I'll ask him to help Rebecca.
Sarah, I forbid you.
You can't forbid me, Nathan. I obey my father. Good morning, Stephen. Wait, let me open the gate for you.
Good morning, Sarah. Is your father at home?
He is, but he's busy just now. A very dear friend has arrived from Tarsus. His favorite pupil, in fact. They've been talking for an hour or more. They'll be out soon, I'm sure. Will you wait?
If I may. Oh, good morning, Nathan.
Good morning.
Stephen, I wanted to see you. I've been told that you have been put in charge of the distribution of charity at your synagogue.
Yes. That is, there are seven of us. It was too much for Peter and the others. Oh, we don't have very much money, of course, but well, that makes it all the more important to see that it's distributed fairly. It's a great honor, and that's why I came here today.
Why?
Well, everyone knows that Rabbi Gamaliel drew up the regulations about charity long ago. Our problems are a little different, and well, I'd hoped he'd advise us.
Well, I'm sure he'll be glad to.
And you wanted to see me. Why?
My handmaid has an aunt, an old woman and a widow. Her name is Rebecca. I think she's a Gentile, Stephen. But ever since her marriage, she followed the law just as carefully as anyone. A little while ago, she heard your Peter preach. And she's been like a new person ever since. So happy.
That happens when Peter speaks, Sarah. He's so humble, so gentle. Everyone loves him.
I know. I've heard him. It's so different from those dry discussions in the temple. Well, you see, Stephen, Rebecca's been receiving a widow's dole from the synagogue ever since her husband died. But now Nathan says that she can't have it anymore.
She's a Gentile, a proselyte, carried away by every new doctrine. How else can we keep such people in the law?
By giving the law meaning for them, Nathan. The law isn't an iron straitjacket laid on us by Moses long ago. It's the path to lead all men to God.
God's law is for his people. Ours has been the sacrifice. Ours will be the kingdom when the Messiah comes to restore the glory of Israel. What are the Gentiles to do with God's covenant with his people?
The law has fulfilled itself, Nathan. Now there is a new covenant, which shall be for all people, and a new law, which is the law of love.
Sarah, I told you, this is pure blasphemy. How can there be a new law without a new Moses?
The prophets have told us over and over again that the Messiah would bring a new covenant.
And with it, the kingdom and the glory over all the nations of the earth. Has that come about?
His kingdom is not of this world, Nathan. How could it be? Yet, through him, all nations shall turn to Jerusalem, even when the temple itself is forgotten.
The temple forgotten?
The temple will never be forgotten. What words are these in the house of Gamaliel?
I'm afraid it's just what we were speaking of, Saul, the problem of the Nazarenes. Saul, this is Nathan, the son of the high priest, and young Stephen, a follower of Jesus of Nazareth.
Yes, sir. How do you do?
Saul has come from Tarsus to find out what is causing such agitation among us.
I confess my first hearing isn't reassuring. How can the temple be forgotten, young man, unless the law is forgotten too?
Does the Most High dwell in a house made with hands, sir?
You know the words of the prophet, Saul. Heaven is my throne and the earth my footstool. What house will you make for me, saith the Lord?
I'm not very good at preaching, sir. You are very welcome to come to Solomon's porch and hear Peter or John or any of the 12.
A lot of fishermen. Not a doctor of the law among them. Not even one learned man in their whole company. And yet people listen to them.
I have heard that they preach a new law according to this prophet who was crucified.
He was not a prophet, sir. He was the Christ.
I see. He was the Messiah for whom our people has waited through hundreds of generations. And now that he has come and gone, we can forget Moses and the prophets.
Not forget them. No, the commandments stand. But he has given us a new commandment, that we love one another. And now the old law, which was for our people only, becomes the new law for all people everywhere.
And I say it's blasphemy and should be punished, stopped. Root it out before any more people are misled by it.
I want to understand this doctrine. According to your teachings, the Messiah has come. All the years of waiting are over. And the Messiah is dead and buried, and Israel is still captive.
He is not dead, sir. Ask the Roman soldiers who saw his empty tomb, if you don't believe us who saw him and heard him.
Rabbi Gamaliel, is it possible that people pay attention to these ravings?
The story of this Jesus is very well attested, Saul. And I can't believe that all of them are lying or mad.
But what of the promise that the Messiah would bring the restoration of the kingdom?
Have you read Isaiah, sir? Does not the prophet say that when the Son of Man comes, he will be given to suffering and disgrace in the eyes of men? He is the new and perfect sacrifice, and this time it is for all men.
He argues well, Saul.
Do you believe, Rabbi Gamaliel, that this crucified carpenter was the Messiah?
I don't know, Saul. I don't know. But I do know that there is nothing in Holy Writ which makes it impossible.
Is it not written, sir, that he would be rejected by his own? That the stone which the builders rejected, the same would become the cornerstone of the temple?
At least I'm beginning to see why there's so much uproar about this new doctrine.
If you could hear Peter speak so. His voice when he speaks of Jesus always makes me want to cry. You couldn't believe evil of a man like that.
Yes, the women flocked to Solomon's porch, as if a woman could understand the law.
The law is enough for me. It has kept us a nation through thousands of years of persecution. And now you Nazarenes want to forget the covenant and let in Gentiles, heathens, anyone and everyone.
Why not, Saul? Did God create them only to damn them? It has been our privilege to keep the law until now, so that God might save the world. Could there be a higher destiny than that? But now we have the new law, which was made from the old.
I have known many who followed the law to the letter, Saul. And yet their hearts were hard, and they wore pride like a garment.
Yet outside the law there is no salvation. Yourself you taught me that, Rabbi Gamaliel.
I don't know. Each night I read and read again the sacred writings, praying for understanding. I am afraid that I have been wrong all my life. And then again I fear that this is a new and terrible temptation laid upon me. As a test in my old age.
Father, you're very tired. Come and lie down for a little while. You'll forgive him, please. He sleeps so little nowadays, he must rest when he can.
Of course. I'll come again if I may.
I'm afraid I wearied you, Gamaliel. I'm sorry.
I'm old, Saul. You're young, all of you, and so sure of yourselves. I'm an old man and not sure of anything. God be with you.
I'm sorry that our discussion distressed the rabbi. He's so kind and wise.
He is an old man, of course. It's been interesting to hear you, Stephen. I'm glad I had the chance.
If you'd only come to Solomon's porch, sir, you'd find others much more qualified to speak than I. Good day, sir. Goodbye, Nathan.
Goodbye, Stephen.
So that is a Nazarene.
And there are more of them every day. Every day they preach, and every day more people listen to them.
I never realized how dangerous they were.
And my father can do nothing because Gamaliel insists that they're harmless.
Gamaliel's an old man. Too old. Why, he talks like a dreamer. And there was no one stricter in the law than he when I studied under him.
You see, if they can turn the head of a man like Gamaliel...
You're right. Something must be done, Nathan. And done at once.
The law is clear enough about blasphemy, Saul. Instant death by stoning immediately after conviction. That has always been the law.
Yes. And that would prevent any chance of stirring up sympathy among the people. What's more, it would scatter the leaders without any further trouble. And the law forbids shedding more blood than can possibly be avoided.
If only you'd come to Jerusalem sooner, we'd have ended this danger long ago.
We'll need 3 witnesses, Nathan.
3? I can find 30. Everyone has heard him talk as he talked here.
And that was blasphemy, sheer blasphemy, whatever Gamaliel says. We must act quickly. Nathan, take me to your father.
few hours later, Sarah rushed into Gamaliel's room and fell on her knees beside his couch.
Father! Father, wake up!
What is it?
They've arrested Stephen. He's being tried now, right now. I just heard it in the street. Everyone's going to the council chamber. It's like a mob.
But didn't they summon me?
No. And I know why. They don't dare.
Help me up, Sarah. My cloak.
Yes, Father.
Come, we must hurry. Yes.
Yet when they reached the square before the council chamber, every approach was blocked by a great crowd, already murmuring with anger. Above them, high under the portico at the top of the steps, they could see the circle of the Sanhedrin and hear Nathan's voice lifted harshly.
You have heard the witnesses. You have heard how this Stephen has said openly that the condemned and crucified carpenter of Galilee was the Messiah. You have heard how he says that the very temple and the Ark of the Covenant will be destroyed, and that there will be no more need of the law. How say you? Is that not blasphemy? You know the law decrees that the blasphemer shall die by the hands of those who condemn him, silenced by stones, so that he cannot corrupt the faithful. I invoke the law. He has blasphemed against this Stephen.
Let us hear the prisoner.
What need? We have heard the witnesses.
It is the law. Prisoner, are these things so?
Ye men, brethren, and fathers, hear.
Look, Father. Look. His face. It's as if there were a light around him.
The face of a young angel. Sarah, we must get to the council.
Oh, please. Please let us through. It is the Rabbi Gamaliel.
Oh, said to the children of Israel, I will raise you up a prophet out of your own brethren. Him shall you hear. It was Moses who in the desert with the angel received the word of life to give to us, which is the law.
Oh, please let us through. Oh, Father, I can't. The crowd is too thick.
They must not kill him.
Yet our fathers would not obey Moses. But they turned to Aaron and said to him, make us gods to go before us. And as for this Moses who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we know not what is become of him.
Let us through. We must get through.
So did our fathers before us. And ye stiff-necked, uncircumcised of heart, you always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do you also. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? As ye have slain those who foretold the coming of the Just One, when he came, you betrayed and murdered him. Behold!
Father. Father, look. Look at his face.
I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God.
He is condemned out of his own mouth. Let the law be fulfilled.
Oh, it's horrible. I can't bear it, Father.
God, forgive us all.
And your son. Look at him. See, they're handing him back close to hope.
Is it over, child?
No. No, he's still alive. He's trying to speak.
Lay not this sin to their charge.
When the thing was done, the crowd slunk away as crowds do when violence has ended. Slowly, with faltering steps, Sarah and Gamaliel made their way toward the terrible place where Stephen's body lay crushed and broken. Gamaliel knelt beside it, lifting it in shaking arms. And looking up, he saw Saul of Tarsus, still staring down out of a white, set face, as if held by a spell.
Saul, Saul, my son, what have you done?
It was the law. He had blasphemed. It was the law.
The old law is finished, Saul. This is the end of it. It has come to an end in death.
No.
You heard his words. The words of mercy and love. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. That is the new law, Saul.
He would have destroyed us all. He had to die.
Perhaps he had to die, but not because he transgressed the old law. He died to show us that the old law itself is dead. And by this very act, you will scatter the teachers of the new law over the whole world. And his dead voice will cry his message louder than God's own thunder into men's hearts.
I will not believe it. I will not believe it.
You will not forget, Saul. You cannot forget. This dead boy has walked in the footsteps of his master, even to the gates of death, and his testimony will live. I tell you, Saul, you will never forget this murdered Stephen. And in the end, he will overcome you in the name of his master, who was the Christ.
And out of that first blood shed for Christ came the miracle upon the road to Damascus, when Saul of Tarsus became the glorious Apostle Paul and set himself humbly to follow the Master, of whom he first learned from his victim and conqueror, the martyred Saint Stephen.
I want to thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour, brought to you by the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. For over 110 years, the Friars have devoted themselves to fulfilling St. Francis' prayer, to heal wounds, to unite what has fallen apart, and to bring home those who have lost their way. We work for Christian unity and interreligious understanding. We provide respite at our retreat center at Greymoor for those in need of spiritual renewal. We staff parishes throughout the world, serve as chaplains for colleges, hospitals, and prisons. We care for the ill through hospice work, ministry to those with HIV/AIDS. We also shelter the homeless and provide treatment and services for those suffering from alcoholism and drug addiction. If you would like to be included in our prayer list, participate in special St. Anthony Novenas, and or visit St. Anthony's Shrine, Greymoor, attend a retreat, learn more about our Ave Maria Hour productions, or simply make a donation to assist us in fulfilling St. Francis' prayer to help those in need, please visit our website at atonementfriars.org or email me at avemaria@atonementfriars.org. You can write to me, Father Bob, Friars of the Atonement, Greymoor, Post Office Box 300, Garrison, New York, 10524. And so, in closing, I ask for the blessing of God upon you and those you love. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may he look upon you with kindness and give you his peace. Amen.